This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh, I've been having so much fun lately. I'm getting all of these wonderful books, and I really appreciate all of the emails that I've been getting, because you have gone to my webpage, which is www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and filling in that form at the bottom of the front page and sending me your suggestions for authors that you want me to invite on the program. And I am following up on that, and I've already been sending out invitations. And if I pick one of the authors that you want, perhaps you could join me here on Joy on Paper and talk to your favorite author. So I've been just having so much fun with doing that and trying to sort of match up listeners with the authors that you guys really want. This is exciting, and so it's just I hadn't done that before. I didn't think about that before, but now thinking of having you guys on the program with me. Especially, well, you know, today I have a wonderful author. Well, not an author. Well, he is probably an author, but I have a wonderful interview because this is my second Nat Geo Day. I had one just before Thanksgiving, and today is again a National Geographic Day, because these books that I recommend are so wonderful. And you're looking now for gifts, because unfortunately, a lot of people aren't visiting a lot of people. And so there are so many people who are at home, and they need diversion. They need something to think about, something nice to think about. And so that's why just before Thanksgiving, and I do that every year, of course, I make a special Nat Geo Day for Thanksgiving, because I think that the ideal gift when you go to visit somebody on Thanksgiving is to bring a book. They already have flowers, they already have wine, but to bring a book is a lasting gift. They will remember it from one Thanksgiving to another. And now the same thing goes for the holidays that are coming up. Whatever your holiday, giving a book, especially a Nat Geo book, because they are such top quality books. They last and they stay, and there's something that people will look at year after year after year. And so today I have two of those authors. I also going to have a live book buzz with Rita Moreau. She's going to be on the phone, and we're going to do one especially for A.R. Torre, who was on the other day, and I just liked her so much. And I have, because she uses this initial AR, and she is the third AR person I've had this year. I call her Skippy, and she's just so sweet and so delightful, and I wanted Rita to do a book buzz for her. So we're going to do one of those, and that's going to be live somewhere, either at the bottom of the half hour or maybe at the just before the close of the show. We'll see how things go today, because I really just love, I love when Rita does it. She does it with enthusiasm and a lot of joy, and that's what this whole program is about, finding that joy on writing and just having fun, both whether you're a writer, and of course all of you, I'm sure all of you can say to yourself, I have a book in me, or if you're a reader, just to try to inspire you to read more, to buy more books, and of course, to give more books, because it is a wonderful thing. And one of the people that will be back on my program on December 22nd is Davon Miller. Now, Davon is a young man who started writing, I don't know, he's writing I think he was already illustrating when he was 3 years old, but he wrote a 100-page book when he was 11. You know, what were you doing when you were 11? And then he came out with this brilliant character, Mr. Tickety-Tock Clock, and Mr. Tickety-Tock Clock, he got the idea from looking at that clock in his room during school days. What were you doing in your school days? Were you looking at a clock and coming out with a brilliant idea? Say, hey, I could make that clock into a character. No, probably not, because Devon has beaten you to it. And he is he's just a delightful young man, and he's going to be on the 22nd. But right now I am turning to somebody who has written about a subject that I love, I absolutely love. James Buckley is the author of more than 200 books for young readers on all sorts of sports, but the one we're talking about today is my very favorite sport, and the book is called It's a Numbers Game, Soccer. Hello there. Hi, James. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's exciting to talk to a fellow soccer fan, thanks for having me on this morning.
Soccer fan. Let's put it this way. I have 20-foot-long Tottenham Spurs scarf. I have Harry Kane bubblehead doll. I have Harry Kane T-shirts. I have Harry Kane. I have Harry Kane everything.
Way to go.
Way to go, right. Everything in my life stops when Harry Kane is on, as I would say. I lived in England. I moved to England when I was 21 years old. And so I wasn't really into sports that much. But when I got to England, you can't avoid soccer. And I just fell in love with it and got, you know, to go to many, many games. And then when I moved back to the States, people were surprised. You know, everybody wants, you know, football. And I said, no, I'm watching the real football. And
that's right.
And so anything with Tottenham in general, that became my team. That's where.
Well, go Spurs. They're having a great season. I think they're still in first place, or right around a point or two away from first place right now.
Isn't it fantastic?
It's exciting.
I'm teasing all my friends who don't support the Spurs. They keep giving me this. Oh, they haven't won anything for this year. This might be our year, especially.
People rooted for the Cubs for 100 years, and they didn't win anything either. So tell those guys to go away.
Yeah, exactly.
It is
loyalty, and it is so much fun. And soccer is so much fun. I was a baseball fan as a kid because my dad used to take me to all the Tigers games. Now there's a losing team. Oh boy, I was going to Tigers games. You know, when I was a year old, he was already taking me, and because he was a teamster, he had tickets. He had great tickets right behind the first base, and
awesome.
the best seats. There's nothing like
the
that.
Alan Trammell, Lou Whitaker years.
Gibson. Oh, a little before that actually. And the most beautiful thing is, you know, first base. I love first base because I loved when they would try to steal. There's nothing like somebody's just trying to steal from first base, heading into second, and you get to watch them. But
yeah, well, you'll have to check out our next book in the series, this numbers game series, is on baseball. It comes out in April, we can talk again then.
Okay, we will. Well, you did a marvelous job, as always. I have turned this into a Nat Geo Day. I do this every year. I have one before Thanksgiving, and I have one getting ready for Christmas and Hanukkah and all the other holidays, because I believe that, you know, giving books to people is the greatest gift. The wine they drink, the flowers they, you know, dye, but Nat Geo books, nobody ever gives them away. You know, it's so funny. You can, in the days when we used to be able to go to garage sales, you'd never find a Nat Geo book at a garage sale. Every other book they'll sell. But
the magazines they would sell sometimes, but not the books.
Oh, no, they last a lifetime.
National Geographic Yeah, National Geographic Kids and ESPN, we've teamed up to create this series, and it's turned out really well. It's a lot of great graphics, a lot of really fun photography. It's more than just words, but it's a very approachable book. Nat Geo does a great job with design, so there's really something for everyone to find to look at on every page.
Wow, and you did a great job of putting it together. I love all of it. I love the, as you say, the diagrams are great. The photos, we don't even have to say that. When it comes to National Geographic, for over 100 years, they've had the best photos in the, you know, in the world. But I love all the little things. I love the other things that you put in here. So tell us about some of them.
Well, the book is basically broken up into seven chapters. Each chapter covers a kind of a key area of the game, whether it's goalkeeping, whether it's scoring, whether it's the history of the game. We have a fun chapter in the back called The 11 Most Important Numbers in Soccer History. It's just throughout the book, the idea is to combine any kind of mathematics, any kind of numbers, any kind of numerical stuff, along with geometry and a little bit of physics. And all these things are kids that have to do in school, and they're not always that excited about them. Well, we know they're excited about soccer and other sports, and so why not combine the two and get them to think about soccer and think about how math can be connected to soccer, and maybe they get a little bit more excited about both.
Exactly.
One of my favorite things in the book is about how we connect geometry with being a goalie. If you watch a soccer game, as you know, soccer is one big giant geometry lesson. You've got vectors and angles and runs and curves and paths, and the whole thing is one big triangle. It's the most important shape in soccer. We have a whole spread on that. And we talk about how goalies need to know geometry to succeed, and we show diagrams that teach them how to, instead of standing back and waiting for the person to shoot, we teach them how to approach the person who's shooting to cut down the angle, to move closer to them. It seems strange to run straight towards somebody who's going to whack you with a ball, but actually you have a much better chance of stopping that ball if you move toward them, as I'm sure the goalies that you watch in the EPL know very well. So it's definitely a physical game, but the more you can use your brain and understand some of the math and the movement and the geometry behind it, the more you'll understand it, which means you'll like it more. And if you're a player, the better you'll get. And for young players, understanding the game and getting better makes it more fun.
Oh, it does. Well, let's pick a few numbers. Let's start with 11. Tell everybody why 11's a great number.
That's how many players on the field. You got to have 11 players on the full field. Kids play various numbers. We talk a little bit about that, how younger players and younger teams help kids get started by having fewer players on the team, 4, 5, 6 players on the team at one time, and that's fine. A great way to play soccer, small sides. But at the top level, it's 11 players. One of the fun sections of the book is where we talk about the formations of how those 11 players are arranged on the field. Soccer players have positions, and they have areas that they're, you know, responsible for, just like in football or baseball, but they move around a lot more. So a person who's a defender can still go up and score. A person who's a forward who plays offense still needs to come back on defense on certain plays. So it's a very fluid game, it's a very motion-filled game, but they still have a basic organization structure. And it's based on math. It's based on numbers. How do you arrange 11 players on the field? And we have some really fun diagrams that show some of the famous ways that teams have done it in the past, how they do it today, how you might see a team on TV, you know, organize itself. It's a 4-3-3, 4-2-4, 4-5-1, all the different ways that you can kind of arrange 11 players on a field.
Yes, it is. The diagrams are wonderful. I want to tell people, this book is not just for kids. If you know people who are just like starting off watching soccer, and a lot of people, I think, during this pandemic-y time, actually, they're watching Premier League, and there are more and more Premier League parties here in the States. I love it. They have some terrific Premier League parties. And this book, I can tell you, any guy and gal who watches, you know, television would enjoy this, because it does it t- tells you about the game a little bit more in depth so that you understand what's going on. For people like Americans who don't know, you know, they know the formation of a football team. They know the quarterback. They know the But having this book really, I think, will help them. As a matter of fact, I have ordered six of them already to give to.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I have a mortgage to pay, and it's always people like you that help me do it. So.
Well, because you know, when you look for a gift to give to like a family, and to have this book there next to them, you know, on the coffee table, and just to turn on the Premier League in the afternoon, you know, or Saturday morning. Well, I get up, you know. If it doesn't matter what time they're on.
I know. I'm in California. Those early games are too much for me, so I watch the 9:30s. But one of the fun things about the book, too, is that you talk about families sharing it, and at the end of every chapter, we have an activity and a game that people can play, and it doesn't have to be just kids. So in the goalkeeping chapter, we have a game on practicing goalie. In a couple of the chapters, we have dribbling skills. We have some ways you can learn about, you know, combining some of the math concepts with an activity. So there's lots of things to do with your body as well as with your mind in this game for any age, as you say.
And the nice thing, now, I was a homeschool mom, so I used math. I mean, I always made math into a game for my kids.
Way to go.
Because that's how they learn math. They learn geometry on the beach, making forts. But I made them plan out the scale, you know, and they had to learn how to do that.
Cool.
And yeah, because really math is so much fun. And when you combine it with sports, as you said, and you're going to do whole series of them, but particularly soccer, I think I get such a kick out of it. Isn't that a nice thing to say? You get a kick out of
soccer. Soccer is not as statistically oriented as some of the other sports. So, I mean, you don't get quite as much. There aren't as many data points, if you want to get too specific about it, as there are in a baseball game or a football game. And every football play generates about, you know, 25 different things that you can count, you know, whether it's yards or angles or sacks or gained or percentages. In soccer, there really is goals and assists. Really, that's the, you know, getting saves. Those are the primary kind of things you can count. So one of the things that's kind of fun to explore in the book, we have a whole spread on this, is how soccer is taking that sort of next leap that many sports are taking now into much higher levels of analytics and math. Now, we're not scaring kids with higher, crazy math here. We're talking about percentages. You know, we're not going to go that crazy. But it is fun to sort of find out that extra thing. The comparison I've been making is the great Pele. You've heard of Pele, greatest soccer player of all time. Fantastic player. When he was playing, he didn't know the stat called possession percentage. He didn't know that number, but he knew as he played whether or not his team was controlling the ball more often. Well, now they've been able to codify and count that so that a team can. I was just watching Champions League, and they put up a stat and say, okay, so far in this game, you know, Juventus has controlled the game 63% of the time. Well, that's an important thing to know because that really shows how much they're controlling the flow of the game and the action of the game. And by learning this sort of thing, you can see how a team strategizes to control the ball, how they can use control the ball to control the flow of the game, to set up offensive chances, et cetera. That's something that most older soccer fans or older soccer teams had no way of knowing. So there's some new fun stuff that's happening with math and soccer, just as it's happening in all the other sports that we're able to talk about in the book, too.
Well, it is a wonderful book, and every time, you know, there are these natural players who they just, all of these little numbers must be in their head somewhere, and they don't even realize it, like Andy Rooney.
Right.
Andy Rooney was like, is like magic. It's all, but it is, I'm sure it's all in his head, it's all a mathematical thing, and he doesn't even realize it.
Right. Well, for instance, when a soccer player makes a perfect inside of the foot pass, he doesn't stop and think, well, I'm going to have my foot at an exactly 90-degree angle. But he is.
Yeah.
That's a 90-degree angle. And so when you show kids that this angle thing that your teacher's talking about has an actual impact on how you can hit a soccer ball straight to your friend, the connection makes both things better. In other words, you become better at passing and you become better at math. And it is kind of intuitive with a lot of soccer players. They don't grow up learning the math, but why not?
Why not? Throw it in there.
Why not have a chance to do both?
And the name of the book is It's a Numbers Game, Soccer, and the Math Behind Perfect Goal, the Game-Winning Save, and so much more. And I want you to tell just, you know, and it's edited by, well, authored. I don't know what you did it all to it, James Buckley, because you've
done. I wrote all the words.
You wrote every word in this. Well, this is nice. This is nice. I've got the actual editor who wrote every word, because that doesn't always happen in these books. But so you have written every single word. Isn't that wonderful? And you've written a lot of books, 200 books. My goodness, my goodness.
Yeah, most of them are pretty short. It's not that impressive.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's pretty good to me. I think it's pretty great. And of course, anybody who I actually have National Geographic Kids as my on my top of my web my computer, an icon.
Great.
And
well,
I click on it every morning. I can't read the news anymore. I can't go I can't start my day reading the news or going to anything else. So I click on Nat Geo Kids, because this morning, for example, they had a story about a sloth in a rocking chair. Now, I love those little stories in the morning. When you're having your coffee in the morning, and this is for all adults, and then definitely tell the kids to do it too. But Nat Geo Kids, that website is terrific.
Cool. Well, they brought me in to help create this series, and it's been a blast to do. We've got a basketball book in the series that came out earlier this year. Soccer is just out now, and we hope everyone will check it out for Christmas presents. And then we have baseball coming out in the spring. It's a numbers game baseball, so hopefully it's a real popular, fun series, and we can bring a lot of readers to the table who bring with their pencils and their cleats at the same time.
Okay, well, that's good. You have to come back with the baseball book. I need that book. I live in hope always with the Tigers. I can't stop it. And I will
tell you. You get a new manager, maybe that'll help.
Yeah,
he's got some tricks up his sleeve, I understand.
He does, and you never know. And we live in hope. And I'll tell you about some of the great steals that I did see at Tigers game. So I look forward to.
Well, go Spurs. I'm trying to think if I have Harry Kane in the book. I don't think Harry quite made it into the book.
No,
but amongst the great world goal scorers today, he certainly has a big place. He's been a great addition to England and Spurs.
Yes, because the first thing I did is I went through the entire book looking for Harry. But that's all right.
Sorry.
I had my bobblehead next to me. I had Harry there. So I could just kiss him and say, oh, Harry, oh, I'm going to tell James Buckley next time.
When we do the next edition, I'll put him in there just for you.
You have to do it because the bobblehead's so cute. Anyway, James Buckley, thank you so much. He is the author. He wrote every single word in this wonderful book. It's a Numbers Game. Soccer. And everybody get it. And you can go to natgeokids.com or anywhere books are sold. And James, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. It's been a joy talking to you.
Oh, it's been my pleasure indeed. Thanks very much, everyone. Be safe. Have a great holiday.
Okay. Look forward to talking to you in the spring. Okay?
Take care.
Bye-bye. Wow, isn't he great? All right. I believe we have Rita. Do we have Rita on the phone? Well, why don't we do commercials and we'll come back and then we'll get Rita on the phone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with Rita Moreau, who is going to do a book buzz for us. Hi, Rita.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, well, you just take it away, Rita. Okay?
All right, here we go. Ready or not? This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz, Every Last Secret by New York Times bestselling author A.R. Torre. Is a delicious suspense thriller that will keep you guessing to the very end. Here's the buzz. Kat Winthrop has worked hard to get what she has, a gorgeous home, social standing, and William, her successful, handsome husband. Then a friendly new couple moves into the estate next door. While cautious, a good neighbor like Kat greets them with open arms and warm hospitality. Nina Ryder isn't a fellow lady of leisure. A life coach with off-the-rack dresses, personal issues, and a husband who hasn't delivered, she's anxious to move up in the world. This beautiful new town is a step in the right direction. It's also making Nina aware of what she doesn't have, namely William. As Nina's secret fixation grows, so does her friendship with Kat. But beneath their cordial interactions is a wealth of temptations, secrets, and toxic jealousy. For both women, the desire for a perfect life can turn perfectly dangerous. When Nina's infatuation escalates into obsession, it's just a matter of eliminating a few obstacles to get the life she wants. The life next door. Welcome to the neighborhood. Watch your husband, watch your friends, and watch your back. A chilling domestic thriller about power and deception, A.R. Torre's latest novel, Every Last Secret, has all the elements to keep the reader enthralled, with just enough darkness to provide needed twists for a complex plot. Mystery and Suspense Magazine. Hey, this is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz suggestions you should not miss, go to www.radiojoyonpaper.com and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
Okay, Rita, thank you so much. That
You're
was
welcome.
So good. Okay.
It was fun.
Okay. And then we have a little cold weather here, so you keep warm here in Florida. And I'm sending greetings to everybody, all of our families up north. And so we're suffering a little bit, but not as much as they are, right?
Right.
Okay. Bye-bye now, Rita. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. And in a minute, I'm going to be talking to someone from Nat Geo, and this time it is going to be one of the editors, because nobody could write this book by themselves. This is a big, 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 fat, heavy book. It's a thick book, and 1,000 pages. It's got all 1,000 pages, and so I'm going to be talking to the editor about this wonderful book. So she's going to be on in a few minutes. Again, I wanted to remind you of my webpage, which is radio-joyonpaper, or go to my Facebook page, which is just radio Joy on Paper. I couldn't get that website. There's somebody had a thing called Joy on Paper. They won't give me that site, and so I have to use radio-joy on paper. But you can find me and find me there and tell me what authors you want me to invite on the coming year. It's going to be 2021. Can you believe it? 2021 is coming up, and we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared with this very, very thick book, 1,000 pages, delightful pages. And I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Sarah Jansen. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, well, you are the editor of the World Almanac and Book of Facts, and this is 2021 version. Nice hefty little book here. Woo! This is a big job.
Yes, it is. It's always a big job, and with an eventful year like 2020, it was an even bigger job.
Oh boy. We, you know, first of all, it's nice for anybody who has the one that says 2020 on it. That's a collectible already. Well, there are so many, you know, the wonderful thing about these world almanacs is people have to save them, especially writers, because you can go back and know what was happening. If you're writing a book, if you have this book at your fingertips, it just makes it so easy to you know, discover things and sort of bring things back to mind, because you have timelines, you have maps, you have all these statistics. Whoa, what? How hard do you work on this thing?
It's definitely a big project every year. You know, the World Almanac is basically always trying to do its best to provide the best reference source for the upcoming year while summarizing all of the events of the past year.
Well, now, when you put this book together, there's tons of people who must be you know, giving you all this information. But there's always something new, and there's something always that, you know, people will open the book and they'll say, well, you know, you can find out about air quality. You can find out there's stuff about science. There's stuff about the awards, different awards, and that's so much fun. What's your favorite area? What do you particularly like working on?
Oh gosh, I don't think I could pick just one thing. You know, the World Almanac covers what we like to think of as about 90 different subject areas every year, and we really just break it down that way so that we can think about it in more bite-sized pieces. One of my favorite sections, though, to work on is the offbeat news stories, which is part of our year in review section, just because the offbeat news stories are a little bit less serious than some of the harder news topics that we're covering. Like in 2020, we spent a lot of time covering the election, the coronavirus. So when you compare those very serious stories to the offbeat news topics, it's definitely thrown into contrast.
Well, I love my favorite. I love the timelines. I love timelines. And one of my favorite ones is the timeline of major wars since 1066. Because 1066 is very relevant to me. It was funny. When I first started having passwords on the internet, I would use 1066 in my password. But my kids immediately would guess, because they'd say, well, it's 1066. She always uses 1066. because when I started, I homeschooled them, and 1066 was the year where I started making them learn all the battles, actually. And that's how I taught. You know, the wonderful thing, how to teach history. If anybody out there, if you're teaching your kids history, I used to make cookies for the kids. I homeschooled, but all the kids in the neighborhood used to come over to our house. And on the cookies, I would have a date. And they could not have a cookie unless they could tell me what happened on that date. So I had 1941. If they didn't know that that was the year Pearl Harbor, they didn't have a cookie. So I'd do it, you know, I'd mix it up, but this is a great way to learn dates, and 1066 was one of my favorite. I use that all the time. So every kid in our neighborhood knew what happened in 1066.
Well, I hope you aren't using that on your passwords anymore because
you
told all your listeners.
Oh, no. I had to stop that. I had to stop that because the whole neighborhood knew that I'd use that. But it's so wonderful to have this at your fingertips. Like when you just have it there next to you, you're watching television, and something comes up and a subject where you might be watching Law and Order, and they're talking about pollution, and you can pick it up and you can find out how about pollution, or you can find out about animals that are going extinct. I mean, there's everything in this book. It's just delightful.
Well, I'm glad that you feel that way. It is a great resource for, when you hear about maybe a country in the news that you're not super familiar with, or you want to know more about, the biggest cities in your state. It's great for looking up specific things like that. And it's also great just as, if you're a curious person about the world, pick it up and flip to a random page. It might be something that you wouldn't even have thought to look up, that you wouldn't have thought to seek out for yourself, but hopefully we'll get you hooked no matter what page you land on.
Well, that's the joy of this book. You can pick it up all the time, anytime, and just have fun and sort of play games. You can turn it into games, testing people. I know that my kids used to love to do that. They'd read something and when I was driving and say, "Mom, do you know that? Mom, do you know?" So, they'd like to see how smart I was. Well, I think I surprised them a lot. I got a lot of things right. But, but there's funny things in here, too. Like, I was looking at U.S. bank failures. And in 1934, there were 9 bank failures. And I would have thought, there was a zillion bank failures in those years in 1934. But it wasn't. It was only 9. I thought, that's not bad. And because, I don't know, 2010, there were 157 bank failures. And I found that so interesting. Now I'm going to be able to, I like when, you are able to have when one day we can have conversations with people across the table and we can sit around and talk. I like to sort of, tease people with things like that. Isn't that fun?
Absolutely. And what's really fun about statistics like that is that in the World Almanac, you'll find that along with that information in that table, you'll also see that we list our sources for tables like that. So you can actually go to the source and find more information, find information about each and every one of those bank failures or do further research. And I think especially now, as people are getting more interested in talking about, sources of facts and media literacy, it's a really great resource to have where the World Almanac actually spills out not just the data, which we've already, checked and fact-checked, but we also provide you the source material so you can do the same kind of inquiries yourself.
And you have, with really serious things like the Constitution, you have that here. You have details of all of this so that people can just pick it up and look at it right away. And as I said, if you're watching television, sometimes you sort of feel guilty while I'm watching television and I'm not really doing anything I should be doing. But it's nice that you can at least, pick it up and read things and learn things. And it's good for your mind because our heads are full of all these neurons and you have to just keep them sparkling along, keep them filled up so that they keep working, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the World Almanac is great for that. It engages you on any subject you might be interested in. So whether it's sports or pop culture on the lighter side of things, or science or economics or employment statistics, we've got you covered.
Oh, I just turned to the page, taxes. Oh, yeah, we got blah, blah. Okay, you've got taxes in there, too. I didn't want to read that one. I wanted to read something fun. I was looking for something fun. Oh, I feel so bad. I feel so bad. I was reading the planets. Oh my goodness. It's I don't know what year. Well, when they drop a planet and you really are heartbroken for it, you have to read this. You have to read this now because I think if we had an old one, like 1970 or something, we still had some other extra planet there. Ugh, it's just I still can't get over Pluto. What the heck? You know, I love all the country things, too. I love the country things because, again, you're watching the news and they mention a country and you don't know where it is or too much about it. And my goodness, you could just turn right here to that whole section there about that has details of the countries and also like Latvia. People hear about Latvia, they don't know anything about it. There, you've got it, right?
Absolutely. There's an article about every nation in the world in the World Almanac. You can also find an article about every state in the Union, about 100 different U.S. cities, the 100 largest U.S. cities. We've got these sort of capsule profiles of all of these different places. So if it is a place that you're unfamiliar with, you can just look it up in your World Almanac and find out, you know, population, demographics, a capsule history. It's just a really great resource if you want to be more familiar with what's going on around you.
Like knowing the great empires of the classic world. That's a great section. That's a wonderful section for all those people out there who are dressing, going to Comic-Con and dressing up as gladiators and all sorts of things. It's wonderful to go to this and then learn something.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure there's just so many people who are involved in this, but you know, for you, wow, you have a pretty great job, don't you? I mean, this is like really nifty. I mean, I always say you people who are employed by Nat Geo are like among the luckiest people in the world.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a great job where if you're a curious person, if you like to learn, you never leave the office at the end of the day having not picked something new up, whether it's, you know, a census statistic or some interesting unemployment numbers or, you know, creating a new graph that can give you a better sense of a particular statistic that tells you about the world. You never leave work without learning something, and that makes me very lucky.
And, of course, you have all sorts of famous people. It's just one thing after another in this book are absolutely wonderful for everybody to read. I turned this into a Nat Geo Day. Because I spoke in the first half hour, I spoke about It's a Numbers Game, soccer, written by James Buckley Jr. And I wanted to just have a special day that I tell people that the ideal gift. You don't have to think a lot about where to go shopping this year. If you want to make it really easy on yourself and fun for the people who get gifts, just pick up buy a Nat Geo book. I just bought six of the It's a Numbers Game soccer because I know people who will enjoy it, and not just kids. And this book, the same way, it's 1,000 pages, The World Almanac and Book of Facts 2021. It's a resource, and it's particularly now in this time when people are home. And so everybody's sort of in this pandemic-y mood. As a matter of fact, I coined that word, pandemic-y. I combined pandemic and icky, and I turned it into pandemic-y. And I'm trying to get the OED to pick that word up and put my name that I created that word. Because in this pandemic-y time, it's wonderful to have other thoughts in your mind. There are all the details in here about the COVID and about the elections and all of that stuff, but it's the other stuff that diverts your mind, I think, from all of that, that people will really enjoy. And it's a perfect gift. And the prices of Nat Geo books are ridiculous because they are so cheap and the value stays forever. And I think you've done a terrific job with this book.
Well, thank you so much.
So, tell us a little bit when people get this book, is there, as you said, there's resources. Should they go to the National Geographic website directly?
Well, actually, the World Almanac is not affiliated with National Geographic, although we are big fans. We are a separate book. We are not published by the same company. But they can find us really wherever books are sold, or they can go to worldalmanac.com.
And worldalmanac.com on the on your website, you have all these details?
Absolutely.
And so it'll be lots of fun for people to do that and get there. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you, when you put this book together, so you finished it, when it's published, because it's really up to date on details.
Yep, we spend a lot of time making sure that the book is completely up to date, at least as much as possible. We don't like to leave anything out. So basically, we wrap up the production on the book right after the election and or World Series every year. And that means that we're scrambling at the end of the cycle to make sure that we include all of those details, but we want people to have the best and most up-to-date resource possible.
Well, as a gift book, you can't go wrong with this book. I know that I have many over the years I save them because as somebody who's involved in writing, as I said, they're such a resource, and to be able to go back and see what was happening in a certain year for researchers is just terrific. It's just a wonderful, wonderful resource. And I know that one thing that as a kid, when I saw a book like this, sometimes it would just be one little article that would spur my interest. You might read a little story about a country, and you say, gee, I'd like to know about that country. I'd like to go to that country. So all of these things can open your eyes and open your mind to new ideas and new subjects, and I think that you've done a terrific job, as always, and I hope that people will really think about buying this as a gift. Buying a couple of them, one for yourself, because once you have it, you don't want to give it up. And then one, or at least one, or a bunch of them to send out to the family this year, because people really need something to divert their minds and to something to think about.
Absolutely. And, you know, creating the World Almanac every year is a team effort. And I think that the diversity of information that you can find is certainly reflected by the fact that we have so many people taking a look at each page every year, so many people researching and fact-checking and identifying new sources of information and trying to provide the best possible resource for any reader, whether it's a child or a grown-up or a grandparent. We've got so many different facts and figures and sources of information that anyone is going to find something interesting in this book.
Well, Sarah Jensen, thank you so much for joining me on Joy on Paper today. I think you've done a brilliant job with the book, and it is available wherever books are sold. And again, people can go to the World Almanac webpage and find out more. And just thank you. Really, I think this is a service that you're doing for the world. By putting this together, because I know people all over the world who actually get this book to learn about so much about the United States, because there is so much in here about the United States, the Constitution, the presidents, all that stuff. I know that when I lived in England, people would buy this book because they wanted to know about so much that was in here. So thank you again for being on Joy on Paper today, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy holidays.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye now. Okay. Well, I love this book. It's very heavy. It's really wonderful. I've been so really thrilled lately about the response that I've been getting from all of you. And I want to tell you that Bill Larson is going to be coming on the program in 2 weeks' time. Again, you can go to my webpage, and if you have a question about intellectual property. There's a big movement now. Well, you know, this is right now things are, I think people are like thinking about things they can do once this pandemic time is over. And one of them is, I did not realize until recently how often writers are sued. They are sued more and more. And partly it is because sometimes you get in trouble with what you write about people online. You have to be really careful. If you are on Facebook particularly or any of the other social media, you have to really be careful what you're writing about people, because I've now come across quite a few more lawsuits. And these lawsuits are from authors suing other authors, or often, or authors suing their publishing company or some entity because something has been said, something has been implied. And so there are more and more of these lawsuits coming up. And I was surprised. And also more and more people are suing based on what you've written about in your book. So it's a complicated situation now. They have started in New York City. They definitely, lawyers are now, people are hiring lawyers to read their books before they're published, just to get a clearance, because it's almost frightening that you could say something that you think is innocent, and it is either somebody doesn't like it, or somebody thinks that you're being, I don't know, doing something wrong, or that you've used some information in a wrong manner. And so they are suing. So a lot of lawyers now in New York are offering this service, that they will read your manuscript to make sure that there is nothing in it. And the same is now, a lot of the authors, especially the famous authors, are being more careful about what they put on the internet, because if they say something negative, even in a sort of passing, jokey way about another author, they can get sued. And so you have to start really, you know, this is the nature of mankind, I guess. We always find something to pick on. And one of these is trying to find things that perhaps a writer has done wrong and suing them. So I'm going to have Bill Larson on here. We're going to talk about a couple of very fascinating cases that have come up. But meanwhile, I just want to tell you people, if you are an author, your Facebook page should be about books. Do not put anything else on there. Don't do your family business. Don't do your travels. Don't do all of that stuff. This should not be on your Facebook page. Keep it to books and keep it civil. Don't bash anybody. Don't say anything negative about anybody. Because what is on the internet, as you have learned through this past few years, stays on the internet, no matter what happens if you try to erase something. So if you're 4 o'clock in the morning, you read a book and you say, oh, I think that author stole that idea from so-and-so, and you type that at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then at, you know, 9 o'clock after your third cup of coffee, you say, gee, that was stupid. It's too late. So be careful out there. But remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, unless you just start writing a page a day, and pretty soon you'll have an entire complete novel ready to go to an editor. But you have to really start trying. And it is all comes down to persistence and stick-to-itness. And we'll be talking a lot about that with some agents coming up in the new year. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything. And everybody have an absolutely wonderful day. It's a weekend. It's a weekend. Is it at the weekend, Ed? Woo-wee! Okay, everybody, have a joy-filled weekend and read a good book. Bye-bye now.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR.